You're listening to The Foundation of Wellness, a refreshing take on diet and lifestyle. Join me, Marisa Moon, as we tackle modern health with innovative and ancient principles. I'm a certified primal health coach and intermittent fasting instructor at marisamoon.com. Hey, it's me, Marisa Moon. It's April 29th, 2020, and that means we're still in the middle of this lockdown and pandemic, which is just a heads up for anyone who happens to be listening to this podcast episode later in the future. So today, I brought on the show a fitness expert, media personality, and life coach named Kathleen Trotter. She's here to talk to us about making exercise a priority and how to keep it that way. You know, it's not easy to get into the habit of exercising, and we talked today about all of the hang-ups that are getting in our way, even my own. We all have got them. So for decades, popular wisdom told us if you don't work out, it's because you're not motivated or disciplined. But it's that perspective that's created an intense struggle for so many of us who need a more innovative and personal approach to fitness and health. Kathleen says it's time to shift our thinking. She is the author of Finding Your Fit, which you'll hear us talk about today quite a bit. It's a compassionate trainer's guide to making fitness a lifelong habit. And she also authored Your Fittest Future Self, Making Choices Today for a Happier, Healthier, Fitter Future You. Kathleen does a number of monthly TV segments in the U.S. and in Canada. She writes for dozens of print and online outlets, all while working with private training clients, ranging everywhere from athletes of all ages to individuals living with Parkinson's disease, osteoporosis, for instance. She holds a master's in exercise science from the University of Toronto and a nutrition diploma from the Canadian School of Natural Nutrition. She's also a Czech Level 3 trainer, a Level 2 facial stretch therapist, and a certified Pilates equipment specialist. Kathleen is such a ball of energy and a thrill to talk to. You'll hear we really hit it off. I know you're going to enjoy this interview and you will not get bored. She doesn't even stop to take a breath, I don't think, which is making for some great conversation. We're about to get started. I want you to keep in mind there are a few of the concepts and resources that Kathleen speaks about in this interview, and you'll be able to find those in the show notes or the episode description for this particular episode. And if you don't know what I'm talking about and you can't find the episode description, you can always go to our homepage at tinyurl.com/FOWHome. And that's where you'll find all of the episodes and show notes as well. Here we go. Hey, Kathleen. Oh my gosh, what a pleasure to have you here.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I feel we're kind of kindred health spirits. You love Gretchen Rubin. You love Mel Robbins. So you know what? I love those two women too. And it's great when you can share heroines, right? We can geek out on self-development.
Oh my gosh. Yes, that's totally my jam. I love it. You have so much to offer. And it makes me wonder, after everything that has gotten you to this point, have you always loved fitness? Was it just something you were born to do?
Absolutely not. You know, actually, that's mostly the, if anybody listening gets one thing from today, it's that I created my fit. And I think that a lot of times you look at health professionals and you think, well, you know, it comes easy for them. It's natural. So they don't need to try. It's not work. So why I shouldn't, I'm not even going to try anymore because it's like, it's too hard for me. It's too, I can't ever be that person. And listen, I think fit is a creation. At least it was for me. I grew up not okay in my own body. I think is that's the best way to put it. Like I didn't love sports. I just felt awkward. I was 6 feet tall. I was taller than all the boys. And I had to create and find a system that worked for me. But it was a really gradual process. And those are things that a lot of people, they want instant fixes, right? They either want to be already good at something or they want to automatically like start on Monday and then by Tuesday to be fit. And health is such a process, right? Like, and it's like you never master it. It's you get closer and closer to mastering it. You know, I'm better at health. You know, when I fall off the wagon, I course correct slightly faster. I can recognize things in myself. I'm able to sort of intentionally set habits, but I'm not perfect. Like I'm human and, you know, we're right in the middle of this isolation right now. And like, it's been hard for me and I've been struggling just like everybody, cause we're all human. And, you know, it's been hard for me to get up in the morning and I have to consciously remind myself, like Kathleen, you are a better version of yourself when you prioritize motion. You're a better version of yourself when you move, but I've definitely not always been that way. And in fact, I like did everything to lie to get out of gym class and all that stuff. And even there's many, many days where I'm still not that way. But I think that just saying to myself, like, you're always in a better mood when you exercise, like blah, 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 go work out. And also just reminding myself that you don't have to be motivated to move. Like, there's so many days that I don't feel like doing it, but I do it anyway. Because I believe in being a professional about my health, right? It's like, you don't go to work because you want to, you go to work because you go to work, and you might wake up in the morning and be like, oh, I don't want to, but you still go, you do it, right? You're a professional. And that's what I try to say to myself. It's like, you might not want to, you might not want to go for your walk or your run or whatever, but like, do it because you know, you will feel better. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to want to, you just have to do it.
My gosh. Yeah. That's so, so smart. Sometimes us adults feel like, gosh, my whole day is filled with things that I'm doing just because I should do them. And what do you say to that?
So I love that question, because my philosophy is about finding the fit that works for you. So I really do believe in thriving in your own lane. So it's not about what works for your favorite celebrity, and it's not about what works for your brother or your sister or your boyfriend or whatever. It is about finding what works for you. And part of that is finding something that you actually enjoy. But I guess what I would say is, in order to figure out what you enjoy, you have to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. So when I started, my mom got me a membership to the YMCA, because she said to me, you know, you don't like being active with your peers, but why don't we find a solution? She's big into finding a solution. Actually, one of the other like female heroines I love is Mary Forleo, who wrote the book Everything is Figureoutable. Yeah. So her mom, I feel like, was very akin to my mom. And my mom just sort of said, like, we have to find a solution. So we started with me just going to the Y, because my mom knew that older people wouldn't intimidate me as much as people my own age. And the demographic of the Y is kind of like over 45 or under 5. So I started to go, but I started with 10 minutes on the treadmill. So like, did I love 10 minutes on the treadmill? No, but I didn't hate it as much as like trying to do like a CrossFit class, or I didn't hate it as much as trying to go to gym class and work out with my peers, or try to join a softball team. So sometimes you have to start and experiment and try. And then it led me to things that I really love. So I love running. I love Pilates. That doesn't mean I always want to do them, but I do enjoy it. So part of it is finding what you love. Like, my mom loves to garden. She loves to play yoga. My dad loves to play hockey, but he wouldn't know that he loved to play hockey if he hadn't started and tried. So you kind of have to be able to be a little bit curious at the beginning and try a couple of things. And it's like a science experiment. Like, if it doesn't work, that's fine. Like, don't do it again. But you have to think that daily motion of some sort is a non-negotiable, like really honestly something. And if you don't know what you love, start with something you don't hate, right? And then, right? But if you know something you love, like let's say you love dancing, like look at your past history, and are there moments or bright spots in your past where you're like, oh yeah, I used to dance and I love that. Okay, so that would be a good place for you to start, right? Like if, for example, my dad stopped exercising and he wanted to start again, what I would say to him is like, dad, start with hockey because you know you love it. So if you have something that you know you love, start there. If you know you love music, put on some music and just dance around your apartment or your house, or like get your kids and have a dance party. Like, you'll never feel better than after you dance, right? Mm-hmm. But if you don't know something that you love, go through things that you don't despise. And maybe if you do those things, you will find things that you like or you tolerate, or at least things that you find better. You'll figure out that you feel better afterwards. Oh, yeah. Right?
Totally.
Start with what you don't despise. Start with 10 minutes of walking, right?
Yeah, that's how I started. Literally, yeah. Like this past season, I was not working out for like months in a row. And I was reading Atomic Habits by James Clear. And he's
literally
like,
I literally was just going to mention that book. I love him, right? And he's all about those small little
things. And he's like, 10 minutes will help you create the habit. And then can make it into a real
habit. We have to have coffee. We love all the same people. But what he says, which I love, is that every time you make a decision, it's a vote for the person you want to be, right? So every time you go for a walk, you vote to be the type of person who goes for a walk. And you have to do it enough times for that to be your new normal. And that's why I really talk about this idea of trending in the right direction. Like, you're not going to go from Monday an unfit person to Tuesday a fit person. It's not a binary. You're not either fit or unfit. You're on a continuum, and you want to be working to slowly create better habits. And they domino into, like, or no, not domino. They snowball into more and more, right? Like, I started with 10 minutes of walking, and then it was 20, and then it was 30, and then I did some weights, and then I started teaching aerobics, and then I started running, and then I ran some marathons. But it was like, I didn't go from like sitting on my sofa to running marathons in a day.
Yeah.
Right. And we all want this really quick fix, but it's a consistency that's key. And it's consistently saying, like, I might not want to move, but I will feel better when I move, and I need to try enough things to know what I like, what I love, what I hate, you know, and then maybe don't do the things you hate, but do the things you like, or make yourself do the things that you don't necessarily love because it'll allow you to do something that you do love. So for example, with me, I actually don't love like strength training, but I love running. And I know that if I get injured with running, that that will be the end of my, it's such a coping mechanism for me to be able to run. So when I am having a hard time motivating myself to do my strength exercises, I say to myself, Kathleen, you have to have strong glutes or you're not going to be able to run without injury. Like you have to do those things. So that allows me to do it. Or a lot of my clients who don't love, like some of my male clients, they don't love their flexibility training. So I say, but like you love your sport. And if you love playing golf and you're not flexible, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get injured, right? Or if you don't love doing your core work, but you have to pick up your kids all the time. Okay, well, you better do your core work or you're going to get injured, right? So sometimes you have to be tricky with yourself and play some mind games and say like, yeah, I might not love this, but it's good for me and it'll allow me to do something else that I love.
Is that what you meant when you said you have tips on gamifying exercise?
Oh, interesting. So that could be an example. So gamifying is more what it's, okay, it's an umbrella concept that I use. Okay. The main part of it is that it is a mindset. So a lot of the times with fitness, we go into it as like an obligation. It's something we have to do versus something we get to do. And first of all, side note, moving your body is a privilege. It is a privilege of being alive. Like it's not something that you have to do. This is like awesome, right?
Yeah.
Right. Anytime you get injured, you know how much you wish you could move. But anyway, that's a side note. So gamifying is this mindset of I'm opting into the challenge because listen, being fit is, it's going to be a challenge. You're going to fall off your horse. You're going to have to get back on. You're going to have to learn from your mistakes. Like that is part of life. It's part of fitness. And success is not making a positive choice once or being perfect. Like perfect doesn't exist. Success comes from being like, you know what? I'm going to fall down. I'm going to get up. I'm going to learn. But that's a gamification opt-in. Like I am doing this challenge mindset. Think about when you play a game. If you're playing a game and it's not hard enough, you're kind of bored. Like I have a lot of clients who play video games and they will say to me like, oh, I got to up the level. Like this isn't hard enough. Right. Mm-hmm. So you want to be challenged in life. That's what makes it sort of exciting. Now, not too much of a challenge. If you're playing a video game, you know, you don't want to be level 10 unless you're, you know, you maybe want to go from level 5 to level 6. So it is, you know, you want to make sure that you're being appropriate. You're not going out and running a half marathon if you've never run before, but it is this idea of like, when you hit a roadblock, which you will, right? I hit roadblocks all the time. You don't give up. What you say is like, oh, interesting. I've hit a roadblock. Like how can I climb this hill slightly better? What can I do? What system can I employ to like do better this time, you know? And so the gamification is this mindset of like, okay, so name things villains in your life, right? So maybe you have a sticky chair that says is trying to pull you into watching Netflix. So then you're like, you know what, sticky chair, screw you. Like I'm stronger than you. Give yourself a hero's name or a heroine's name. Like maybe you're Buffy the Vampire Slayer, right? Like you can be anybody you want. So that's another way you can gamify it. Like just that idea of like, I am going to play this game of fitness, but you could also literally gamify it. So you could create a challenge with your family. Like if we're all at home in isolation, so it's decided to do a family challenge. So who can do the most push-ups or who can get the most steps in the house? And then whoever gets the most steps gets to pick like family movie night or, you know, you could decide to have challenges when you go back to work, same idea, step challenges, push-up challenges, squat challenges. You could also, literally, there's ways to use technology to gamify it. So there's studies that show that if you play Candy Crush or one of those pattern recognition games like Tetris, it actually decreases your craving by 20% because it stimulates that visual portion of your brain. So if you're thinking of like you wanting a cupcake, then you can play 3 minutes of a game. So you can gamify that process. So it's a mindset, but you can also literally play games in your life to make it more fun. If that's something you like. If it's not something you like, let it go. Like, you know, it's really about finding what works for you. And again, like I'll say it again, thrive in your lane. Like if it works for me, but you're like, oh, Kathleen, I don't want to do that. Well, then fine. That's fine. As long as you're moving and as long as you're working and as long as you're learning, what's not okay to say is to say like, you know what? I give up. Like this is just, it's too much. You know, just go for a walk instead and take a pause on giving up. And then when you've gone for a walk, you'll feel a little bit better. And then you'll be like, okay, let's re-strategize a little bit, you know?
Yeah. You really do have to remind yourself how good you feel afterwards because later you're not going to want to do it. And you have to remind yourself. I know you do that all the time, Kathleen, and that's so valuable. It's like, You have to remind yourself, I never have once regretted going to work out.
You'll never regret the workouts you don't do, right?
Yeah.
And I think what you're pointing to is just this idea of taking a pause. It's very, very easy to let our emotions in the moment dictate momentary choices, right? Like, it's like, oh, I want a cookie, and then you just like have a cookie. But or I want to skip my workout, and then you just skip the workout. But the thing is that a thought is not a fact. A thought is not an act. Like, just because you have a craving to do something doesn't mean you have to do it. But you do have to take a pause between that stimulus and the response. It's that greatest, Viktor Frankl has a quote that I just love, which is, the greatest power in life is the moment between stimulus and response, right? Like, so you can be stimulated to want something. Like, literally, he lived through World War II and was in, like, concentration camps. So this man, like, knows how to take that pause, that moment. His books, Man's Search for Meaning, is amazing. Anyway, the point of the story, though, is that a lot of us think that as soon as we're stimulated to do something, that we have to therefore act. But that's just not true. You might think that you're angry at somebody, but you don't punch them in the face. Like, we have the ability to take a pause, a step back, and say, interesting, you know, I'm really upset, and therefore I'm wanting to binge eat. But if I'm really upset, like, am I sad? Like, could I just phone a friend instead? Like, is there something else I could do that honors the emotion, but is a more healthy choice?
Yeah, because your brain's always going to choose the easier, more immediately rewarding thing.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. The brain is going to choose that dopamine response. And then our reward center is like, oh, I want that. I want that. But your future self is not going to be proud or happy if you do that. And sometimes, and you just have to learn to step back and be sort of step onto the balcony and look into your life and the dance floor, right? Like, stop being in the dance floor and take that perspective and be like, okay, you know, what will the Kathleen of a year from now want, 2 years from now, three years, you know, because the next year, 2, 5, 10 are going to pass no matter what. So we're going to get to the end of these years. We're going to get to the end of isolation. And what are you going to have done with that time? Like, it's not like if you're grumpy or make all the sort of poor choices that that time's not going to pass. Right.
Yeah. So true. I quoted you saying, it's about working out and making healthy choices because you love yourself, not because you hate yourself.
Oh, wow.
And that is so key, because several times hearing you talk so far, I've been thinking, but a lot of people face exercise as a means to an end or to a goal. And that's the only reason they're doing it. They don't necessarily care or are driven by this overarching health and wellness reward that they will get from it, especially maintaining it as a lifestyle. And I think that's why a lot of people don't prioritize it, because they're trying to use it to get something else. And once they get there, just like everything else we do, it's just a fleeting moment of happiness and fulfillment.
Totally. Yeah.
Go ahead. I just wonder a lot about that journey, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a really astute comment. And I think the thing about it is that goals can be useful. It's not that I say, like, stop having the goals, but you also have to be in the process, right? So, you know, for me, when I first started, going to the Y and walking on the treadmill for 10 minutes was a great goal. But it's only a good goal if once I reached the 10 minutes, I wasn't like, oh, well, now I'm done and now I'm going to stop. So goals are sort of part of this process that is life, part of this journey that is life. So, you know, I really do thrive on goals. I've done Ironmans and marathons, and those things are very motivating for me. But it doesn't mean that I give up the sort of daily pursuit of just of being healthier. But I think it's a practice. Like, you can, again, we go back to this beginning, like what I said before, is like, you don't go from being unhealthy to being healthy, and you don't go from having sort of a less than ideal mindset around health to a perfect mindset. There is no perfect, it's a process. So if you're like, Kathleen, I'm never going to feel that way about fitness, that it's not an obligation, I'm like, okay, so then fine, but just start, just try. And you never know what's going to happen along that way, especially if you take the moments to really, revel in those little wins, right? Because it's easy to sort of think like, oh, well, I only quote unquote did 10 minutes on the treadmill. That's not good enough. Oh, well, I might as well quit. But it's like, no, I did 10 minutes on the treadmill. That was better than yesterday. Like, I have more healthy habits this week than I did last week. And then next week I can have more healthy habits. And then next month I can have more healthy habits. So, but you have to be able to recognize what you did well, so you can continue to do more of those things. I'm a big fan of journaling because of that, right? It's that awareness. And one of the journals I use with my clients is this idea of the elimination versus the reproduction journal. So at the end of every day, I get them to write down three things that they want to eliminate and three habits that they want to reproduce. So they might say, okay, so this morning I went for a 10-minute walk. That was great. I want to do that again. So then they figure out how they're going to make sure that the 10-minute walk happens again. And then maybe that 10-minute walk can turn into 12 minutes, right? And then they say, you know what I didn't love? I didn't love that when I was cooking dinner, I sort of mindlessly ate. So therefore, once I sat down to dinner, I was already full. So they're like, okay, so what's a system that I can put in place so that doesn't happen again? So it might be that they drink water as they cook. It might be that they chew gum as they cook, or that they do mouthwash right before they start cooking, so then they don't want to eat, right? Like, whatever it is, you have to be really intentional about both what you want to introduce into your life as well as what you want to change slightly. So if you want to drink more water, it's not enough to just sort of say like, oh, look, I didn't drink any water today. I want to do more of it. You have to put in some type of system to set your future self up for success. Mm-hmm. But again, it goes back to the awareness. Like, if you don't even know what things you want to reproduce and what things you want to eliminate, like, awareness is choice. So then you can sit down and you can create a strategy for success.
You know, the cool thing is, whatever's holding you back from exercising or making it a priority is very similar to something else that has stopped you in a different arena of your life. So if you've figured out how to get through an obstacle at work, for instance, or with a relationship or with your family, or to, let's say you're an all or nothing thinker, which is why you feel like you're never ready to start your workout routine because you don't have an hour to do it. So that's why you never start it, because you're an all or nothing thinker. But then you realize you had to do that to spend time with your kids in the past. You were like, I'm going to play with them even if it's only for 5 minutes.
Totally.
Because
yeah.
Otherwise, I don't spend any time with my kids and my relationship is ruined and my mood is terrible and yada, yada, yada. So you can relate that to and apply it to exercise.
Absolutely.
And get yourself to work out.
Yeah. I completely agree. I say that to people all the time. Like, you have the skills to make this work. It's always quite interesting. You know, I'll work with these people who are, you know, CEOs of companies or like lawyers or doctors or people who they know how to take a goal and break it down and make that goal happen in other parts of their life or with their family or whatever. Like, they've done it, but yet they finding a sort of a being stuck in their health. And I just say, let's figure out how to take those skills and apply it to your health. Or parents is a great example, because do you know how many mothers are so good at parenting their kids? Like, they're out for a walk and their kid's like, I'm hungry. And they're like, oh, I have a snack for you. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, they know how to teach their kids how to eat well. They know how to teach their kids to just sort of, oh, they're getting emotional, how to calm down and let's work through the emotion. They know how to talk to their kids like they love them. They don't, you know, their child comes home with a bad math test and the parent doesn't say like, oh, you're a failure, you might as well quit math. But we do that to ourselves, right? Like, we miss a workout and you're like, oh my God, you're a failure, you might as well just quit. Like, why are you even trying to be healthy, mm-hmm. right? Or we're out doing errands and we forget to pack a snack and then we quote unquote have to have a chocolate bar. Like,
yeah.
And it is, we all have the skills. We do it at work. We do it with our family. We just have to learn to do it with ourselves. We have to learn to parent ourselves. Honestly, that's really what it is.
We have to
learn to talk to ourselves like we love ourselves. We have to learn to talk to ourselves like we would a child.
Yeah.
We have to learn to give ourselves the self-talk that it's what growth, like growth mindset, what Carol Dweck would call growth mindset, right? That's what we have to do for ourselves. It's like, we do that for children. They fall down, you say, okay, let's get up, let's learn, right? But when we fall, we belittle ourselves so much, we berate ourselves, we metaphorically flog ourselves. Like, it's so unhelpful. But if you can say like, yeah, you messed up. What do we learn from this? Okay, you had to have a chocolate bar. So what do we learn? We learn that you need to pack a snack. Great, right? Or you had a 3 o'clock munch attack. What did we learn? Okay, so maybe you didn't have protein at lunch. Therefore, you needed that 3 o'clock snack. Or maybe you're bored. Or maybe you need to go for a walk. Like, it's not something to be angry at yourself about. It's something to learn from.
Yeah. I mean, I think comparing it to how we teach children and respond to children is so key, because a lot of us don't even start working out or get back to working out because we're unfamiliar with it. We don't feel like we're good at it. And that's just a crappy feeling. Like, say you brought up a great example of doing dance if you always loved to dance when you were growing up. But a lot of us adults, when we try to start dancing again for exercise, we're like, I don't know what to freaking do.
I
feel like I look stupid. I don't know where to find cool dance routines to learn, especially now in quarantine. I know, because you might try one app that somebody told you was cool and you don't like it. So then you just don't do anything and you
totally
stop working out.
Yeah. But it's the idea of like, oh, I didn't like it. Okay, well, that's cool. That's data for next time. Like, our life is kind of a science experiment. And in science, if you get a negative result, that's just as much data as a positive, right? Like, you learn from it. And I think the thing about what you just said is so important. You have to be able to kind of embrace the suck a little bit. Like, you have to earn the right to kind of be good at things, right? You have to work through the grades of something. If you start in grade one, you don't expect to be able to ace grade 12 math. You're in grade one. So ace grade one and then move on. You have to, like, you don't have to be great to start something, but you do have to start something to get great, right? Like, it has to be, you have to sort of be like, oh, interesting. Like, yeah, I'm not good at this right now, but like, why would I be good at it? I haven't done it in 20 years. Or like, the clients will be like, oh, I was tried running, but I wasn't any good at it, so I'm not going to do it. I'm like, why would you think you'd be good at it? You've never run before. So yeah, you're bad at it. So who freaking cares? Try it again and you might get better. Like, I don't know. There's something as adults, like, we're so scared to be bad at stuff. Like, be bad, embrace the suck. You'll get better. And then you'll be able to be like, yes, I'm better. This is amazing. Yeah. Right?
Oh my God. So true. And we're tired of making decisions, I think. And that gets in the way too. But asking someone for help, hiring a coach, hiring a personal trainer. I mean, when I first started working out, I didn't know what to do. I was like 18. So I just did sit-ups and push-ups before I ate dinner because I wanted to lose weight. So that was my rule. I did it every night. And when I wanted to get in better shape, I was like, I don't even know what to do. So I hired a personal trainer.
Yeah.
And I thought it was crazy expensive. I understand why everybody feels that way at first. But I didn't stop for like 8 years because it made every difference in my relationship with exercise.
Absolutely.
I want someone to tell me what to do. We all want that if we're unfamiliar with it.
Totally. I think that's a great idea, hiring somebody that knows what to kind of help you. There's lots of great apps right now also that are giving away things for free. Peloton, I think, is doing like 90 days. But I also think that making a list, like you brought up this idea of like we don't, sometimes it's decision fatigue, right? It's like, oh my God, do I do this or do I do this? Do I do this? And then it's like, well, you know what? I'm going to do nothing. So I like to encourage my clients to make a plug and play list. So make a list of things that you can do if you have 10 minutes, things that you can do if you have 20 minutes, things that you can do if you have 30 minutes. And if you, when you find you have 10 minutes, do one of those things. Like, but you don't have to think about it. You just look on your list and you're like, oh, interesting. I have 10 minutes. I can do 10 minutes of dancing. I have 20 minutes. Okay, interesting. I know there's a 20-minute Peloton that I can do. Like, a Peloton has like body weight stuff, yoga stuff. You know, Yoga by Adrienne is free. She has like 10-minute workouts, 15 minutes. So just make a list, and then you're not like, oh, I don't know what to do. Like, deer in the headlights. This is so scary. And then you do nothing, right? So again, like, something is better than nothing. And the most important thing is that you make motion a daily non-negotiable, right? And I think, listen, we're all in quarantine and we're all going a little bit squirmy. So I think it's a great opportunity to be like, this isn't something I have to do. This is something I get to do for myself. And it's going to make me feel so much better. And it's going to help me relate to my spouse better, my kids better. It's going to give me just a little bit of calmness in my day. I don't know if you've seen Dolly Parton. I love Dolly Parton. And she did this poem that she put on the internet. And it's just fantastic. But one of the lines she says in it is, she goes, if this virus doesn't kill us, something like being at home is going to kill us or get us or something. And it's just like, I think that a lot of people are just feeling that way. Like, it's hard to be inside. It's hard to not go and get space from the rest of your family. It's also lovely to be with the people you love. So there's huge positives. But working out, this is a great time for you to say, like, I get to do this and this is my time. And when you can control the things that you can control, like working out, it honestly makes you feel better about all the stuff in this world that we can't control. Like, you know, it's tricky right now. It's scary. You know, we all have a different baseline of anxiety. Like, I get that. I talk to people all day. So I'm not arguing that this is at all easy, but it's a great, great time to say, like, okay, you know those millions of things I can't control? I can't control them. But what I can control is the fact that I drink my water. I do my daily 10 minutes of, you know, skipping around or dancing or whatever. Maybe I go for a walk if you can do that in your city. And then I will face the day with just that slightly more, like, a sense of control.
Yeah. It's weird how you'll never really feel like working out. We kind of talked about that a little bit, but that's important to keep in mind because it will never become a priority if you don't schedule it. And for me, if it doesn't happen in the beginning of the day, in the morning for me, if it doesn't happen in the morning, it doesn't happen. Unless I have like a an appointment with a trainer or something, but otherwise it does not happen. And people can make it a priority that way, right? Give us some tips in that regard.
Well, I think scheduling it is really important. And I think, you love Gretchen Rubin as I do. So knowing, she talks about the idea of are you an obliger? Are you a questioner? So knowing are you a rebel? Knowing that as well and using that. So if you know that you're an obliger, then maybe you have to decide to do an online Pilates class with a girlfriend. So then you show up for that other person, not necessarily for you. If you know that you're really family focused, maybe you get your exercise stuff to be with your kids. Like, know you. In my book, the first book, The Finding Your Fit, I talk about the four fitness personalities, like the homebody, the gym bunny, the competitive bunny, and the busy multitasker. So part of what I say in that book is like figure out the personality that you are so you can base your workouts on that. So if you're the busy multitasker, you're the person who likes to sort of integrate exercise into your life. So if you, that could be, you could decide to take all your conference calls as you walk around your apartment or your house, or as I said, you can go out for walks and on conference calls. You can do calf raises as your coffee boils. You can, that kind of stuff. If you're more of a competitive bunny, like sure, you can't go out and play sports now, but you can say to yourself, if I want to do my sport later, I better get strong for that sport. So you can use that as an inspiration. Or you can find a couple buddies and do like an online challenge with them. Or you can do a challenge in your house. Maybe that's the person who does the gamification of their mindset, right? If you're a home buddy, perfect. You're at home. So work out at home, set up your home gym. And if you're a gym bunny, yes, you can't go to the gym right now, but you can try to make your home workouts more sort of like gym-esque. So download, like again, find some free workouts, like maybe some AMRAP stuff that makes you feel, that you're being very hardcore, or some Tabata workouts, or just sort of, it's all about knowing you. It's about scheduling. And it's about making it a goal, not a wish. I think this is a really key thing, right? Motivation comes and goes, and we often make our quote wishes when we're really motivated. We're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get fit on Monday, I'm gonna do it, or January 1st. But listen, motivation, that emotion will leave. So you have to set up your systems for your less motivated self, your tired self, the person that like wakes up in the morning and doesn't want to get out of bed. So what are the systems? When are you going to do it? Be very clear about when you're going to do it. In the morning, at lunch. How are you going to do it? Does your husband or your wife or your kids have to make accommodations? Like, do you need childcare? What exactly are you going to do? Figure out, are you going to do yoga by Adrienne? Are you going to do body groove dancing classes, right? Figure out all those things in advance and then set up the system so it works. Like if you know you can't get up in the morning, then put your alarm across the room so you have to get up and go there. If you know that you need a friend waiting for you, book a friend so you're both doing the same class online. Like, or pay money. Like if you know you're somebody who's really motivated by spending money, then do that, right? Because then you show up when you've spent money, like hire that trainer. And then here's the biggest thing. If it doesn't work, learn from that experience. Don't say like, oh, well, Kathleen, I should have a fitness buddy. And you know what? That didn't motivate me. So I'm just going to quit. No, it's like, oh, interesting. That didn't motivate me. What else will? Like, it is a non-negotiable that you move, but it can be an experiment to figure out what works for you, right? Like, you're not going to figure out tomorrow. It's going to take a while. I've been doing this for 20 years and I'm still figuring it out, you know? And I think the thing is in quarantine also, like you can only do your best, but you have to appreciate that your best is different depending on the situation. So, your best in quarantine is going to be different than your best when you're going to work every day and you have, a different routine. So be kind to yourself. Find that balance between holding yourself accountable to a standard because you love yourself and also giving yourself a little bit of grace because this is hard. Like it is really hard for all of us. So speak nicely to yourself, and when you fall, you just get yourself up again and you learn from the experience.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how much stress is relieved just because you worked out that day.
Oh, it really for sure. Carries through. Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great thing. Like when you're feeling like you don't want to work out, remind yourself of those things, that word, right? Like I will feel better. I will feel less stressed if I work out.
Yeah. That's huge right now. I think everybody needs that. And for anyone who is feeling already underslept, overstressed, anxious, you have to homeschool your kids, you're still working, you don't have time. In fact, I don't even know how you're listening to this episode. Well, if 10 minutes sounds like too much for you, then try and do 5 minutes every day.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely.
Once you get into that habit and you find that time slot that works and you start noticing the obstacles that keep knocking you off track, then you will be able to make this a lifestyle so much easier than you can imagine right now.
Yeah, The little wins spiral, right? And 5 minutes can turn into six, which can turn into seven. But if you never start, you never have anything to tweak or never have anything to grow with, right? It's a progression. You just have to start, and you have to be kind to yourself. And you just have to know that working is winning. Like right now, like I keep saying to myself, Kathleen, like good enough is good enough. Like you can't do better than your best. And I can be very hard on myself, and I hold myself to very high standards, which is normally really good. But you know what? I'm more tired than normal. Like this, is like this whole thing, the pandemic has made me much more tired. So I'm allowing myself to sleep in a little bit more, and my workouts are a little bit less intense, and they're more like parasympathetic, good for my nervous system. So they're more yoga, more Pilates, walking. And I'm okay with that as long as I'm moving and I'm being aware of it's coming from a good place of love. It's not coming from a place of like, oh, well, I quote unquote deserve to sleep in. It's like, I deserve to sleep in, yes, but it's not a self-sabotaging deserve to sleep in. It's like a, my body needs this and I'm going to find a balance, you know? So it's just, that's a journey.
For anyone listening who's not into working out, but also tried yoga or thinks the idea of yoga is so not them, I can relate. That used to be me. And I think the things that we feel like we suck at or, you know, are hard for us, a lot of times that's a sign that it's something that will be really good for you. And that's what yoga was like for me. But the tricky thing with yoga or any, you know, class that you have an instructor for is if you don't gel with that style or that instructor, you're not going to like it. But that doesn't mean you don't like yoga. And I think that's such a good place to start if you are really stressed and overworked right now. Find a type of yoga where you can select the time on the app that's like 10 minutes and we'll fit your schedule, but that you also like the trainer and you don't feel like it's woo-woo or weird for you, because it can do so much for people. It's such a great form of movement to get you in the habit.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's great for, you know, stress and nervous system, your parasympathetic. One quick story about yoga. I actually for a while did this TV segment that was called Yoga Is Not My Jam. And do you know, it's because I wasn't curious enough. Like, it goes to this finding your fit. You have to find your fit of yoga. So I didn't like yoga because I was forcing myself to go to these 90-minute like hot yoga flow classes. So listen, I like yoga, but my tolerance of yoga is about 20 minutes. And I will honestly say, like, it's the maybe the best 20 minutes I give myself. But if I try to do more than that, I want to shoot myself in the face. So like, right? So, but that's my fit, and your fit might be 30 minutes. But if I hadn't been curious with it, then I would have just never ever done yoga, because I went, you know, so anyway, so the message is give it a try. And if you don't like an hour, try half an hour. If you don't like half an hour, try 20 minutes, or try a different type, try a flow, try a half a, but, and that goes with everything. Like if you try a dance class and you don't love it, maybe try a different type of dance class or a different instructor. But yeah, I definitely agree. Some yoga and some walking. Walking is so important, and it gets you outside too, which is really important for your mood and your mental health. So
yes, especially now. Well, your book, Finding Your Fit, sounds like the book everyone should be getting that listens to this episode.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's so important to get us thinking and the gears moving in this direction, because so many of us just think we need to exercise because our doctor told us to, or because we're tired of feeling fat. But it's so much more than that. And you deserve to have a deeper connection to it so that it can be a part of your life and it doesn't feel like a burden. I personally go through that often. So you guys, I completely get it and I'm with you. But she's right. Once you start to figure out the things that work for you, or the little tricks you got to play with yourself, or the ways that you can make it your own, it is liberating.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I really believe that exercise should be empowering and energizing, and it should be about thriving in your own lane and being the sort of best version of you that you can be. I hate when people are like, yeah, exercise and be a whole new you. And it's like, no, you don't be a whole new you. You be the version of you that you are proud of. You're strong. You know, you feel capable and confident, but it's you're still you, right? It's the better, more productive version of you. So yeah, thrive in your own lane.
Where's the best place for people to get in touch with you? I know you're all over social.
I try my best. Yeah, my website is Kathleen Trotter. No, yeah, KathleenTrotter.com. So you can always message me through there. I love hearing from people. I'm Kathleen K Trotter Fitness. No, Fit by Kathleen T. Oh my goodness.
Is I
Fit
have by them Kathleen all. I just didn't know which one to share. Yeah, Fit by Kathleen T.
I just changed all my, Fit by Kathleen T on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And if you message me on any of my platforms, I will definitely get back to you.
And by the way, we were talking about hiring a personal trainer. Lots of trainers, just like Kathleen, have YouTube channels. So Kathleen Trotter Personal Trainer on YouTube is a great place to find some exercise videos. Yeah, and why not? That's a good way to learn and find a trainer that you do like and take advantage of the free advice that they're willing to give you. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, my
I
pleasure.
Hope one day we really can.
It would be so lovely. Can I finish with one quote? It's a Nelson Mandela Please. Quote that I love. I'm going to paraphrase slightly, but it basically is, try not to judge success on your final product. You judge success on how many times you fall down and you get back up again.
Mm. Yeah, because like we said, you learn so much through it, and it can trickle into every area of your life, those lessons.
Absolutely, yeah.
You're such a joy, Kathleen.
You're amazing. I look forward to coffee with you in the future.
What state do you live in?
Oh, I'm actually in Canada, so one of us will have to go on a pretty big vacation to have coffee, but maybe a virtual coffee.
Yes, I love it. Okay, Kathleen, have an awesome week, and I wish you safe and healthy quarantine and happiness, too.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that about does it. Thanks so much for joining me on the Foundation of Wellness podcast. If you found this useful, please, as usual, share this with another person who may not listen to podcasts yet. How helpful would that be for you to open up their world to the magic of podcasts and to help support this show so I can keep making awesome episodes for you? Reach out to me on Instagram at Marisa_Moon_ if you have a great guest you want to introduce me to. That would be fun. Or if you have any show ideas or you just want to talk to me about health coaching, about life, about this show, I'd love to get to know you better. You can also join me in our Facebook group, The Foundation of Wellness Refreshing and Diet and Lifestyle Chat. That's at facebook.com/groups/FOW podcast. Talk to you soon. Bye.